glad you're here. Fellowship's sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you, I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Reading from Mark chapter 9, verse 21 through 24. The man said, "Please heal my son if you can." Jesus replied, "What do you mean if I can? Anything is possible if a person believes." The father replied, "I do believe, but help me not to doubt." Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, May 21st, 2025. Picking right up where we left off yesterday on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, you'll hear from Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church. We're in part three of the series, Daring Faith, the Key to Miracles, and today we'll conclude with Daring to Imagine. Here's Pastor Rick Warren.
Now write this down. Let the size of my God determine the size of my goal. I must let the size of my God, not the size of my gifts, but the size of my God determine the size of my goal. God's dream for my life is bigger than my dream. Number five, the fifth thing I've learned about dreaming and vision and imagination is this: doubt is the enemy of imagination. Doubt is the enemy of imagination. Now, doubt and fear neutralize what God wants to do in your life. You see, it takes courage to imagine. Why? You know why most people don't imagine? Because they're afraid of failure. When you were a kid, you had a great imagination. Children have a massive amount of imagination. But the older you get, the more your imagination grows rusty. And you stop imagining what things could be, and you just start living the way they are. And you get stuck in the status quo, which is Latin for the mess we're in. And you don't imagine what they could be, you just imagine, or you just think about what it is. And you stop using that imagination muscle in your life. Doubt is the enemy of imagination. And that's why it takes courage. And by the way, what is courage? Courage is doing the thing you fear the most. If you're not afraid, you don't need courage. You don't need courage. Courage only happens when you're scared to death. Courage is when you're scared to death, but you say, "I'm going to do it anyway." In the history of Saddleback Church, every great thing that we did, I was scared to death to do. Scared to death to do. I just said, "We're going to do it anyway." Why? Because I'm not going to about to let fear dominate my life. So I do it moving ahead trembling, moving ahead in fear, and I just do it anyway. And God shows up. And God will show up in your life. Courage is when you do the thing while you're afraid. You do the right thing. You say, "Well, should I wait till all the fear is gone?" It's never going to go away. You just do it while you're afraid, and then it goes away. Doubt is the enemy of imagination. You have to move against your fears, and sometimes you have to ignore all the insecurities you're feeling. You say, "I'm going to do it. I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to do it even though I'm scared to death and I'm insecure and I might fail and blah, 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 blah." James chapter 1. If you need wisdom, you want to know God's dream, vision for your life? If you need wisdom, just ask God for it. Because he's generous and he enjoys giving it to everyone. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt. For a doubtful mind is as unsettled as a wave of the sea that's driven back and forth and tossed about by the wind. Such doubters cannot decide anything that they do. So they should not imagine, there's that word, they should not imagine receiving anything from the Lord. You gotta believe and you gotta banish doubt. You know what you need to do? You need to doubt your doubts and believe your beliefs. The problem we have today is we do the exact opposite. We believe our doubts and we doubt our beliefs. No, doubts are meant to be doubted. Beliefs are meant to be believed. So you believe your beliefs and you doubt your doubts. Your imagination in your life is either going to be governed by fear or it's going to be governed by faith. And that's your choice. Now, if you let your imagination be governed by fear, you're going to go around freaked out, stressed out, worried all the time. And you're going to worry about what other people think, and you're going to worry about, are you going to have enough, and you're going to worry about this and this and that. And when you allow fear to control your imagination, you live a miserable life. And instead, if you say, "I'm not going to allow fear to dominate me, I'm going to allow faith to dominate me, and I'm going to trust in God, all things are possible with God," then your imagination talks about what could happen, the good things that might happen. And your imagination moves you ahead. Doubt will destroy you. Now, There's a great story in the Bible about a man who had a son who was sick. And he comes to Jesus, and we pick up the story in Mark chapter 9. And the man says to Jesus, "Please heal my son if you can." And Jesus replied, "What do you mean, if I can?" "Anything is possible if a person believes." The father replied, "I do believe, but help me not to doubt." Now, I love this passage because I love the authenticity. I love the honesty of this guy. He goes, "I believe. I just got some doubts." And one of the passages in translations, he says, "Lord, I do believe. Help me with my unbelief." And do you know what Jesus' response was to this guy when he said, "What do you mean, if? All things are possible if you believe." And the guy says, "Well, I do believe. Help me with my doubts." You know what Jesus said? He says, "Good enough." And he heals the guy right there on the spot. On the spot. You know, I wish I had learned a long time ago. I wish somebody told me that I don't have to have all my doubts resolved and all my questions answered in order to follow Jesus Christ and enjoy all the benefits of it. I've been walking with Jesus Christ now for almost, well, over 50 years. I still have questions. I got a list of them. I still have doubts. When I get to heaven, I'm going to be, you can get in line behind me. I've got all my questions to ask Jesus. "Jesus, why did you do this? Why did you do that? I doubted this. I didn't think this was a good thing you did here," and on and on and on. And I'm just going to go through my laundry list of questions and doubts. Why? Because I believe, I just have some doubts. Now, if I had thought that I had to answer all my doubts and all my questions, I still wouldn't even be a Christian. What I learned, listen very closely, is I don't have to understand something for me to benefit from it. I don't have to have it all figured out for me to benefit from it. For instance, I don't understand how internal combustion works. It doesn't stop me from driving a car. I don't understand the chemistry of digestion. It doesn't stop me from eating a steak. I don't understand how there are literally colored pictures flying through the air right now and going through my body and yours, but it doesn't stop me from turning on a TV and watching them. How in the world does that happen? I don't know. How can I pick out my phone and talk to somebody on the other side of the world? I don't know all of it. I can't explain that to you. But I don't have to explain it to enjoy it. Does that make sense? And I don't have to have all my doubts answered and all my questions resolved in order to live by faith. "Lord, I believe. Help me with my doubts." God says, "That's good enough." And so doubt will destroy you if you let it keep you from imagining and being all that God wants you to be. So this guy comes to Jesus and he says, "Lord, I want to believe. Help me with my doubts." Have you ever cried out to God that way? Have you ever cried out to God and said, "Lord, I want to believe. Help me with my doubts"? You need to do that this morning if you haven't. Now, one of the things that happens because of doubt and because of fear and because of worry is vision begins to dissipate in your life. You get a dream, but you leak, and your dream dissipates. A lot of people start off in life with a great dream, a great goal, a great vision, a great objective, a great cause and a purpose to live their life for. But over time, it begins to dissipate and drain out and leak out of their life. Just much like you buy a balloon with helium in it, you put it up in your house, and 3 days later, nobody's actually poked it. It didn't all leak out at once. It just started to leak out a little bit at a time, and pretty soon it's droopy. And some of you have a flat tire emotionally. And you got a flat tire mentally because you're not dreaming anymore. You're not believing anymore. And so what you have to do is you have to re-energize the dream periodically. You have to refuel the dream or you run out of gas. How do you refuel God's dream for your life? Number 6, God's Spirit and God's Word fuel my imagination. God's Spirit and God's Word fuel my imagination. These are the two sources that God provides to energize your dream so you don't run out of gas. First, he gives you his own spirit, the Holy Spirit. And second, he gives you his word and the promises of the Bible. Let me show you a couple of verses. John chapter 14, Jesus says, "I will ask the Father and he will give you another helper who will be with you forever. And that helper is the Spirit of truth." That's God's Holy Spirit. "And you'll know him because he lives with you and he will be in you." And that's where the power comes from. It's not self-help psychology. It's not build yourself up with positive mental attitude. This is the Holy Spirit working in you, gives you power you don't have. And the other source for refueling is God's word. Psalm 119 says this, "Open my eyes to see the wonderful truths in your law. Help me to understand the meaning of your commandments. And I will meditate," that's imagine, think about, consider. "I will meditate on your wonderful miracles." Now, how do you do this? You need to do it on a daily basis where you listen to God as you read his word and you talk to God in prayer. And this is the key to maintaining a vision and dream for your entire life. Write this down. The key to a stronger, healthier imagination is a daily quiet time. A daily quiet time when the Holy Spirit and you and the Bible get alone and you listen to God and you talk to God and you pray and you think and you consider. And that energizes your vision. If you're not having a daily quiet time, it's no wonder your dream leaks. You got to be in the Word and you've got to be in the Spirit. And when you do that, you get alone with God, that will energize you. You need to develop that habit to maintain your dream for life every day. By the way, let me give you a couple tips on getting God's dream while we're talking about this. One of them is it's actually easier to hear from God when you're relaxed than when you're stressed out. When I'm stressed out and my mind is going with all these fears and worries and stress and it's buzzing, I can't hear God because my mind is talking too loud to me. I've got to get relaxed. That's why we call it a quiet time. You get quiet. You get calm. You can't hear God with the radio on. You can't hear God when you're talking to yourself with all your worries. You get quiet, you get relaxed. And by the way, one of the things you can do, I do this all the time. I don't do it every night, but almost every night, as I'm going to sleep, the last thing I do when I put my head down is I ask God a question. And I ask him for guidance. And I say, "Lord, I'm going to be relaxed and you'll be able to talk to me a whole lot better than any other way. So sometimes I'll say, what's next? What do you want me to do next? And I put my head down on the pillow. Or I'll give him a problem and say, what do you want me to say to these people? And I'll put my head down on the and go to sleep. I'll ask God a question. While I'm sleeping, the Holy Spirit has an opportunity to influence my subconscious. And many times, not every time, but many times I'll wake up with the solution to a problem I've been working on for weeks and consciously couldn't figure it out. But when I ask God to illuminate my imagination while I'm sleeping, then I'm more relaxed, I'm more receptive. The Bible talks about this. Look at this verse on the screen. Job 33, God speaks. God speaks again and again, though people often don't recognize it. He speaks in dreams, and he speaks in visions of the night when deep sleep falls upon people as they lie in bed, because then you don't have all your pretensions up. You don't have all your guard up. When you're relaxed, God can communicate to you a whole lot better, and you wake up in the morning, and you got the answer. Let me show you another verse. The Bible says this, Isaiah 50, "The sovereign Lord has given me his words of wisdom, so I know what to say to all these weary ones." God has given me this verse many times. "Morning by morning, he wakens me and opens my understanding to his will." Because I've started the evening going to sleep talking to the Lord, and the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is I talk to the Lord again, and then I have a quiet time, and he wakens me and opens me to understanding his will. That's how he refuels your imagination. Number seven, seventh thing I've learned is that growing my character will clarify my vision. Growing my character will clarify my vision. What I mean by that is if you're having a hard time getting God's dream for your life, you just can't see it. I don't get it. I don't get the vision. I don't get the dream. I just don't see it. It's pretty muddy. It's pretty unclear. Then what you need to do is you need to focus on growing up spiritually. Because the more mature you become, the clearer the vision will be. And as you add character qualities in your life, you're going to be able to see things more and more clearly. That's what the Bible talks about in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 9. It says this, To your faith, add goodness. Now, we're in this series on daring faith, and the foundation of your life is faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. But he says, in addition to your faith, I want you to add some other virtues. I want you to add some other character qualities. In addition to your faith, he said, add goodness. you know, doing good things. And to your goodness, I want you to add knowledge. I want you to learn. And to your knowledge, I want you to add self-control. And to your self-control, add patience. He's talking about virtues or character qualities. He said, if you'll build these things into your life, you're going to grow up spiritually. If you add knowledge and patience and self-control and goodness in your life, these are fruit of the Spirit. He said, you're going to become more mature. And he said, and add to your patience, add service to God. Get involved in service. Figure out a place to serve God by serving others. Get involved in a ministry. So he says, add service for God. You can't grow without doing that. And he said, and to your service for God, add kindness to your brothers and sisters in Christ. He said, practice loving other people in the church, in the family. Show kindness to other Christians. And he said, and to this kindness, add love for everyone. Now, all these qualities, he says, if all these things are in you and are growing, they will help you to be useful and productive. Circle the phrase, useful and productive. That is my goal for you. As your pastor, as somebody who's responsible for your spiritual growth, my goal for you is that you will be more productive and you will be more useful in life this next year and for the rest of your life. That's why we're doing this series. I want you to be more productive and I want you to be more useful in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But, he says, anyone who does not have these qualities, these things, these characteristics, cannot see clearly. The reason you can't see God's vision is you just need to grow up. Finally, number eight, the eighth thing I've learned about vision and dreams and imagination, if a dream is from God, if a dream is truly from God, it will be connected somehow to his church and his plan for the world. If a dream is truly from God, it will somehow be connected to his church and his plan for the world. Why would God give you a self-centered dream unconnected to what he wants to do in the world? He wants to use you for his dream. He wants to use you for his plan. And what is God's big overarching plan? God is building a family. And he's collecting family members from all, every nation, every tribe, every language, every people group. And when everybody's in the family that he knows is going to be in the family, boom, it's over. We're going into phase two, which is eternity. That's God's big plan. God did not create you to live on earth and to live a self-centered life where you get up, go to work, come home, watch TV and go to bed, make a little money, retire and die. Really? You think that's all God put you here for? No, he put you here to be a part of his plan. And if he gives you a dream, you get a dream from God, it's going to somehow impact his church and his plan for the whole world, because that's what he's doing. Right before Jesus went back to heaven, you know, after the resurrection week, after he rose again, he stayed around Jerusalem for another 40 days, walking around, talking to people, having dinner with people, meeting with people. One time he spoke to 500 people at one time. And so he was there for 40 days. And then after 40 days, he takes the 12 and he says, I told you that I was going to come back to life. And he said, I'm telling you this, if I came back to life, I'm going to come back again. And before he leaves, which is called the ascension, he gives his great dream. He gives them a great vision, a great dream. It's called the Great Commission. And it goes like this. Go ye therefore and make disciples in every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to do everything I've commanded you. And lo, I will be with you always, even to the end of the age. That's called the Great Commission. It's the last words of Jesus before he goes back to heaven. Saddleback Church was started because of the Great Commission. Because there are people who did not know Jesus Christ, so we keep starting churches. The whole reason this church started, every church started, because of the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is your commission. And we've had 2,000 years of God building his family so that now there are 2.3 billion people in it. It was not soon over. It is the largest thing on the planet. The church is bigger than anything else on this planet. Let's put this in perspective. There are 2.3 billion Christians. That means the church is bigger than China. The church is bigger than India. The church is bigger than China and India together. It is the biggest thing on the planet. Why? It's because God created it. And it's the whole purpose of history. And if God is going to have a dream for your life, a specific dream, it is somehow going to play a role and be connected to his overarching plan, the growth of his church, the growth of his kingdom, the building of his family, until one day it's completed and we're all going to heaven. Because that's what it's all about. History is his story. You weren't put here on the earth to live for yourself. Look at this last verse. Jesus says this. If you try, this is Jesus talking, if you try to keep your life for yourself, you will lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, that's the Great Commission, you will find true life. You know, this is what God wants to do in your life. Let me give you some questions to get started. I want you to write these down. I want to start you on a journey of finding God's dream for your life. You may have missed it for years and years and years. Don't worry about that. God's not in a hurry. He's got you exactly where he wants you to be. He brought you here today. You're listening to this message right now because God wanted you at this point to hear this. Here are three questions you can ask yourself to begin considering, what is God's dream for my life? The three questions are, what if, why not, and why not me? What if, why not, and why not me? First, you ask the question, what if, and you be open to new possibilities. What if I did this? What if I did that? Open to new possibilities. And then, why not? What do you see in the world that needs to be done? Why is this not being done? Are not being done well, are not being done enough of. You see a problem in the world that maybe you could make a difference with. Why not? Why not? Why isn't this being done? And then the third question, why not me? Why not now? I use these three questions to create the peace plan. What if, why not, and why not me? You know, people say, why do we have all these problems in the world, like poverty, disease, illiteracy, corruption, things like that in the world, these big problems? I'll tell you why. It's because God is waiting for his children, that's you and me, to imagine the solutions. God is waiting for his children to imagine the solutions to the problems in the world. Maybe God wants to use you in a way you've never, ever even thought. To use you to make a significant difference in the world, in some part of the world. Now, the most important thing to remember is this. Jesus said, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. So you pray and you ask God for direction. Say, God, I'm not doing this on my ability. I'm doing it on your ability. I'm not looking at what I can do. I'm looking at what you can do. I'm letting the size of my God determine the size of my goal. And I'm going to go for it. And I'm going to move against my fears. And I'm going to move against my doubt. And I'm going to go ahead because all things are possible with God. God is looking for people who are tired of small thinking, petty living, weak-willed goals, self-centered dreams. I told you I was going to push you during this Daring Faith series because you were made for far more than just a suburban life. You were made for more than just to be a soccer mom or a soccer dad. You were made for far more than that. God's dream, God's vision, God's goal for your life is so big you cannot even imagine it. God is looking for people who will step up, move out, and go, okay, I'm all in. I don't even know what that means. It scares me spitless, but I'm all in. And I'm going to be a part of God's plan and God's goal for my life. You can be better. You were made for more than you're living right now. I know you were made for more than you're living right now. And I'm not going to let you just do that because I love you too much to not challenge you. Tell you that God's dream for your life is so massive. I am exhibit A of this. I grew up in a town of less than 500 people. I would have never told you that I would pastor a church 100 times bigger than the town I grew up in. But God will use you if you will just say yes, and he'll use that imagination. And great lives are built on great dreams. Let's bow our heads. I'm going to pray a prayer that could change your life. You can pray this in your mind, in your heart. Just say, dear God, I haven't been using my imagination correctly. I've imagined things that I shouldn't have, worry and fear and some ugly things that just aren't good. But I want to use my imagination to dream the dream that you put in my heart. I want my life to be shaped by you, not by other people, not by what my parents told me, not by what society has told me. I want my life to be shaped by your dream. I want to live by faith. I want a great life built on a great dream. And I thank you, Lord, that your dream for my life is bigger than my dream. And like that man who came to you with the sick son, I'm saying to you today, God, I believe, help me with my doubts. I believe, help me with my doubts. I want to begin a daily time with you of reading some of the Bible and praying, talking, a quiet time where your spirit and your word refuel my imagination. I want to grow my character. I want to add to my faith so the vision gets clearer and clearer and clearer. And I want to be a part of what you're doing in the world. I want to attach my life to the greatest cause, the Great Commission, your goal of gathering a family that will be with you for eternity. And I want what I do in some way to play a role in building your family, your church, your kingdom, and your plan for the world. So as much as I know how, I'm saying yes to you today. If you've never invited Jesus Christ in your life, just say, Jesus Christ, come into my life. Make yourself real to me. I want to learn to trust you and love you. Father, I pray that you will raise up a generation of people who dream great dreams. You said in your word that in the last days, old men will dream dreams and young men will have visions, and that God, you will use people of every age and every stage and every race and every language. Forgive us for petty thinking, self-centered living, small goals. Help us to trust you. Help us to remember that when we call on Jesus, nothing is impossible. And I pray you would start a movement in our church that all the forces of hell couldn't stop in this daring faith campaign. And I pray it in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen and amen. Nothing is impossible with God. Daring to Imagine, part 3 in the series, Daring Faith, The Key to Miracles by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church. We'll continue with part 4 next Tuesday and Wednesday. And if you missed a portion of today's broadcast, want to hear it again, or pass it on to a friend, stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and click on the Mark and Friends tab. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.